Annie and I have been watching a show on Netflix called The World's Most Extraordinary Homes. And it's basically the two hosts, they go throughout the world, Spain or India, and they tour some remarkable homes, these fantastic structures that are made by world-class architects. And almost every one of the homes that they tour is in these beautiful locations. It's on like a Norwegian lakeside, or it's in this beautiful pine forest, or on a mountain, or even in a beautiful part of the deserts of Spain. And almost every house that they show has been designed in a way that there's these great big windows that allow the outside to feel like it's part of the inside. And the windows allow for all the light and the beauty on the outside to be exposed to the inside. So it feels like you're almost living in nature. They expose all these things. And the architecture of these houses reminds me in many ways of this passage that Matthew shares with us, especially this part where Jesus talks about our eyes. In this passage, Jesus will say that our eyes are like windows for our bodies. And what our eyes see, our heart is filled with. And so if our eyes, if our bodies are like these houses and they're gazing about on light and beauty, then the inside of us is going to be filled with light and beauty. What your eye looks upon is what your heart is filled with. Now, the strange thing about this passage from Matthew is that we would expect Jesus to say something like this when it comes to certain things. It sounds like this thing about eyes would fit really well with another passage on lust or on sinful desires, that when your heart looks upon sinful things and your heart is filled with sinful things. That would make sense. But what Jesus does here is he puts this little passage about our eyes and how they're the windows of the body amongst a whole bunch of passages and teachings on possession, on money, on our treasures on earth, on these kinds of things, even on our daily necessities, food, drink, and clothing. So what Jesus is saying here is that as our eyes are the windows of our body, what they focus on is going to determine whether our insides, our heart, is full of light or full of darkness. But strange here is what Jesus delineates as to what they can focus on. He doesn't mince words here. What he basically is telling us is that if your eye, and so your heart, if your eye is exposed to the Lord, and not only just exposed to the Lord, but exposed to the treasures of heaven, the gifts of God, then your insides, your heart, is going to be full of light. But if your eye, and so your heart, is exposed to treasures on earth, the stuff of our daily lives, if your eye is so focused on even our daily needs or those things that are wants and desires, then your heart is full of darkness. There's no in-between. There's no middle ground here that Jesus gives us. And so the question we have in reading these passages is this question of, well, where is your heart? And what does your eye look to? Because as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, in our day-to-day lives, do we find ourselves focused on our daily stuff? The things that are before us, our house or our car or the clothing we wear, the comforts of life, is our eye focused purely on these things? And Jesus, by the way, is pretty dramatic in this passage. This passage, he's not directing towards people who are rich. It's not directed even towards necessarily people who are well off. I suspect that the crowd that is listening to him are people that struggle from day-to-day life. He's warning the people that are listening to him, and he's warning then us that to gaze and focus so much upon even the bare necessities of life, the food, the clothing, the drink, the shelter, if they become our focus, then our heart is full of darkness. Because what happens when we focus on the treasures of earth, the things upon this earth, when it happens when we focus upon them and our eyes are gazed on them, is that we become then dependent upon those things. Or we seek to become a master of these things, when in reality, as Jesus teaches us, they become master of us. Because in reality, what our eyes settle on isn't something that we can master. In fact, Jesus says it the other way around. What your eyes settle on, in fact, becomes your master. And so then we're faced with a few more questions from Jesus. Because the reality is, as Christ talks about it here, that you and I, we are all slaves. The question really is just who your master is. Are you a slave of the treasures of earth? Are you a slave to accumulating more, to being more comfortable, to seeing that you have food to eat? Are you a slave to the comforts of life as far as your shelter or whatever thing you're playing on computer or Xbox? Are you a slave to these things? Are they your master? Do they rule your life? Do your eyes gaze only upon them? Or are you a slave to God? Those are our choices. Are you a slave to God then, who will bless you with treasures in heaven, who promises to watch over you while you walk this earth? It's a dramatic preaching that Christ gives. There's no middle ground. Your eyes, as the window of your body, either are exposing purely and only God to you and God's benefits to you, or they're exposing the treasures of this earth. And they're not even simple things, but they will fill our hearts with darkness. Who is our master? The treasures in heaven that God blesses us with are pretty good things. Those treasures in heaven that God would like us to focus on are the things that He gives us. It's the life He has blessed you with. It's the identity He has bestowed upon you, that you are a child of the Heavenly Father. And as child of the Heavenly Father, you are blessed then with the care and protection of the Heavenly Father, that He will watch out for you, as we hear in this passage where the Lord wants to bless you with the things that you need in this daily life. So don't seek after them. Instead, seek after God's kingdom. The Lord desires to fill you and fill your heart with the light and the warmth of his presence. Therefore, gaze upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and not upon the things of this earth. May the Lord bless you richly through the love of Jesus Christ and through the care that he has for you as his own creation and as his own children. And may he draw your eyes unto himself. Amen.